I'm Gavin Sheehan, your podcast producer, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, lifestyle, arts, and events. In this episode, we'll be delving into more sexual and risque topics with a pair of awesome interviews conducted by Slug writer Taylor Hoffman. Later in the show, we'll be chatting with Jennifer Fay from the Dahlia Room about her shop. But first, Taylor will be interviewing BDSM expert Miss Veronica to talk about the latest craze in the genre and her own classes.
You describe yourself as a BDSM lifestyler, a safe play advocate, and blogger. So I'm just kind of curious, how'd you get into this line of work or fetish?
Well, I would say it's more of a hobby than a line of work. Mm-hmm. It's an interest that I have taken originally coming from the swingers community. I was introduced to some BDSM players through the internet. I showed up to a couple of private events and was invited to meet more people, and I found that there was this really vibrant underground in Salt Lake City of BDSM, swingers, kinksters, and like a lot of Burning Man type people that intermingle between multiple communities. I happened to find that the BDSM community resonated most greatly with me, and so that's where I've spent the last 4 or 5 years of my life, is really involved in the underground BDSM scene in Salt Lake City.
How did you kind of find that underground Salt Lake scene, because I know a lot of people who want to break into it but don't quite know how.
Right? You know, 4 or 5 years ago, there weren't a lot of public classes. There weren't a lot of people talking about BDSM. There certainly weren't movies like 50 Shades of Grey that were breaching the topic to what we call the vanilla public or like your standard public. So for me personally, I had a friend of mine refer me to a website. I went to that website and started social networking, and from there, I was able to attend public events. So to find the scene nowadays, that's still an option. You'll want to attend public events. So you can go to Miss Veronica with a K.com, and there will be classes that I'm teaching and that friends of mine might be teaching around the community. And as you start to mix and mingle and people start to trust you, you'll start to receive invitations to more private affairs.
How did you start teaching classes?
I found that there was a need in our community for people who took an interest in a specific BDSM type of play called pet play. Now, this type of play, we call it play, but in the past people called it work, so you might see different terms for that. But the type of play that I took an interest in teaching, pet play, came from the gay male leather community. And so this is where gentlemen, and now any gender pretty much, will dress as if they are a species other than human. So you get a lot of humanoid pups, ponies, kitties, kittens. I'm sure you've seen some of this on the internet. Anybody who looks at pornography will see kitties everywhere. Mm-hmm. But we took it a step further and started teaching people how to play safely, so that they're playing within their limits, and how to reach a headspace that will allow you to enjoy the experience of being a pet or being a trainer, whether it be of a non-sexual nature or a sexual nature. Either way, a lot of people have fun playing with that. The class didn't exist, so because I had a limited amount of experience with it, I consulted with my mentor, who was in the community on a national level for 16 years when I started studying with her, and she helped me write and produce the first few classes. And now that seems to be what I'm known for, not because it's my favorite interest, but more because it's necessary to be taught, because people want to learn. They're thirsty for this information. So I started with pet play, and that's how I got into classes, because we had a need for it.
Yeah, sex education, especially in Utah, is abominable.
You know, I can agree with that. In fact, tonight we'll be teaching a class on post-Mormon sexuality, helping people understand, you know, the difference between monogamy, polyamory, swinging, other types of relationship styles, as well as what types of play, accessories, people, experiences, and interactions you can have once you're outside of the thought processes of the mainstream cultures here.
How do you kind of help people find their kinks or their interests in something different?
Something different.
Yeah.
Well, I think that most people who come into the community will come in with something in mind, whether it was they liked to tie themselves to the bed with a belt when they were a child, or they liked to beat up on their brothers or cousins. A lot of people have a particular interest that they might want to explore. And there are some pretty off-the-wall interests and really unique fetishes out there. For example, farting. Some people are just really aroused by the smell, scent, sound, all of that. But I think the help people explore is first to get them out and help them feel safe, that they are in a safe environment. It doesn't have to be abusive. BDSM does not have to include sadism and masochism, which is enjoying inflicting pain or receiving pain. It can be as simple as, I want to submit to the will of my partner, so they're going to make my decisions for dinner today. And that's a form of submission or BDSM. So people who want to explore something new that maybe they haven't seen before, the best way to do that is to go out to a live munch, which is like a meetup, but the BDSM community calls them munches. Go to a munch, have some coffee, talk with some people in a safe public environment where you can be around strangers, speaking mildly on topics of BDSM, gain some trust, and then start to network a little bit deeper and find people who specialize in the particular kink or fetish that you want to explore. And then they'll take you from there.
It sounds like such an interesting journey. have you experienced other states, kind of just how it differs in Utah, or some particular things you notice about Utahns?
Yes. I noticed that in Salt Lake City, Utah, in particular, this valley has a great deal of community. We unite. There may be different groups or individuals who do their own thing, host their own events, or participate in their own way. But in Utah in general, there's not a lot of bickering between communities, groups, organizers, or players. When I went to Seattle, there wasn't very much bickering up there either, but you could definitely tell that there were cliques of people who stayed on opposite sides of the room from one another. Attending play parties up in Bellingham, Washington, people had less of a sense of camaraderie, but more of a sense of one-upping. I can take a bigger hit. I can take a harder throw. That kind of stuff. In Las Vegas, the community felt very shattered. Even though there is a strong sense of we're in this together, there's very much we're in it on our side, you be in it on your side, and we'll kind of push forward as a group, not collectively. And in California, I think that it's just such a standard there. There's coffee shops based around kink. There, people can play in public, so there's a big sense of community there too. But I think in Salt Lake City, Utah, the way it differs from other places in the United States is that we need each other to be okay and to be safe, because we live in conditions unlike Las Vegas or San Francisco or Seattle. We live in a generally conservative population of people who don't understand what we do and may even be fearful of what we do for fun, to connect with spirit, or to connect with each other. We have to have each other's back, and we have to look out for each other in order for us to sustain the level of activity that we want to sustain. And as we grow as a community and we become more public and we do things like podcast interviews or attending Gay Pride Festival and as a group and representing the leather community, kink or fetish communities as a whole, we need each other here. And I don't think that's the case in every other state. So I'm so glad that I was able to start my journey here in Salt Lake City, because I did meet a group of people who took me under their wing and really helped me push forward and explore myself as a player, an instructor, and just as a member of kink community.
I think that's so great that Salt Lake, even despite all of the conservative nature and people not wanting to talk about sex, there is this really strong community. Has there been any backlash that you've received, or that has the community kind of received in general?
As far as backlash as a community, I think any underground community is going to receive some level of judgment from outsiders. As far as like backlash, I don't think we've had a lot of aggressive attacks, people pushing us out of coffee shops. The public is generally unaware that we're even present because we're so discreet about it. So people who are curious about coming to a munch and learning about BDSM can feel safe to come out and meet us, because we don't get a lot of public backlash. We don't even get a lot of underground backlash. We generally unite very well. And if something does go badly or poorly or just not going in the way the community wants, everybody seems to step up and help change the direction. I'll give you an example. If a person stands up and expresses very biased opinions that there is one true way, you can only be a BDSM player if you beat people, or you can only be a master if you're stern with your submissives, the community will say, whoa, 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 buddy, there is no one true way to play. There is no one true way to work. We're in it together. And we're making it up as we go, and we're doing it in a way that's safe for everybody. So don't push your opinions or your must-dos or you should-dos on other people, and you're still welcome here. That's really the only time I've seen a backlash, is if somebody is not open to personal expression and pushes really hard for a particular thought process. Other than that, I personally haven't seen a lot of backlash in the last 4 or 5 years.
That's excellent. I just am wondering how a lot of pop culture has changed that. I mean, especially, let's use the biggest example that everyone has to talk about for some reason, but 50 Shades of Grey, because that has that feeling of this is the only representation of BDSM. Like, it has to be that non-consensual contract.
Yes. Very, very much 50 Shades of Grey open conversation that made it okay for us to talk about it in public. A lot of people who are unfamiliar with the BDSM community expressed to me that they perceive BDSM as a harsh, non-consensual, painful environment. And it most certainly doesn't have to be. And I think the public feels that way because it's unfamiliar territory for them. A lot of faiths and cultures outside of Utah included don't teach this type of information. This spiritual journey and this way of exploring ourselves is generally new. It hasn't been around. Well, I'm sure it has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, but it hasn't been public. 50 Shades of Grey pushed it to the surface. And I happened to go down to one of our local theaters who do movies and dinner and had a booth for Safe Play advocacy during the 50 Shades of Grey release. What I found is partners would come in, they'd see my sign that said, "Kinky, ask us." And my submissive boy and I sat at the booth and we didn't talk to people or approach them. But couples, one would light up and one would pull the other away. And then we'd have a drunk person who lit up when they came in the theater come out to use the bathroom. But they really came out to talk to us. People are curious. 50 Shades of Grey is a great conversation opener, but by no means is what I perceive the BDSM community to be. It's not a fair representation of who we are, simply because it's only one perspective of a very multifaceted experience. I wouldn't say that it's wrong, because there are players that play that way, but it's not the standard.
Absolutely. I thought it was interesting when you said that couples would come up and one would really light up, the other would push away. And what advice do you give those couples or newcomers to talk to their partners?
I'm going to go back to Fat Mike from NOFX. I love that band and I love that man. He expressed that the easiest way to communicate with your partner is to say, "I like something. I like those sexy vinyl boots. I like those wrist cuffs. I want to put a choker on you. Are you open to it?" And I think he had it right. If you want to explore something new, whether it be BDSM or anything else with your partner, just say what you're thinking and know that if they judge you and they can't tolerate who you are or who you're curious about, that you can work through that. And if you can't do it alone, there's a community to back you, and we'll help you find it.
So it's all about honesty and reaching out, and I encourage everyone to check out Miss Veronica's website with a K and find out what upcoming events there are, because there are tons and tons in Utah, and working with the local shops, and it's just so exciting. I'm definitely going to...
Absolutely. There are 3 or 4 events a week and parties every weekend, and we'd love to introduce you to the culture. Even if you dip your toes and walk away, we'd be happy to greet you with open arms.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us, and thanks so much for everything you do. I think it's so important that people know about the Safe Play and, you know, that our community is very open and just gotta... Just got to find it. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. I look forward to answering questions at missveronica.com and meeting some of your readership and listeners. Looking forward to it. Thanks for your time, Taylor.
Thank you.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie.
We're with Jen Fay from the Dahlia Room, just opened in September 2014 over on Broadway and 274 East and 300 South.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and the Dahlia Room?
The Dahlia Room is a, I like to call it an adult boutique because I think that sex shop tends to have a lot of negative connotations. A lot of people already have this idea of what sex shops look like, and the Dahlia Room doesn't look like most sex shops. And so it's an adult boutique. We sell lingerie, potions, massage oils, lubricants, toys, and more than anything else, we also provide education. And so we have classes every few weeks on a variety of topics, because I feel like ultimately what Salt Lake needed was increase in conversation about sex.
When did you start getting into this business?
You know, this is actually not what I intended to do. I had a handbag boutique up in 9th and 9th called Purse Dreams, and I had that open for about 2.5 years, and the retail space was larger than I needed, so my mind was thinking, what can I use this other space for? And I had thought of this idea because I had realized that Salt Lake really needed more progressive sex shops, and I knew it didn't work in that location, and so things didn't work out that shop, and then things kind of opened up, and the Dahlia Room happened.
What did the adult boutique, I love that term, kind of change around the little area on Broadway now?
Yeah, I love all the new shops that are popping up. Right next door to myself is Abyss Piercing, and Courtney is amazing. I love having her as a neighbor. And all kinds of new boutiques opening up, and People's Coffee and Buxom. And we're sad to see Q Boutique leave. Unfortunately, they were one of my favorites, but hopefully somebody else cool will come in. So
that's so cool. Was there any problem that you had opening up down there in the process?
You know, I think when people initially heard that it was, you know, a sex shop coming in, they were a little apprehensive. But I think when a lot of the neighbors came in and actually saw the space and saw what I really was all about, then they realized it wasn't anything to be, you know, scared about. And I actually have found that a lot of the residents that live really close by to Broadway were super excited to have a shop like mine so close, within walking distance, because a lot of these people who live downtown walk and don't have cars, and so it's easy, you know, for someone who lives in Sugar House and has a car to drive to one of the other places. But, you know, if you don't have one, having something downtown is really important. So
what kind of difference in products, and you mentioned education before, and I think we'll tackle that on the next question, but what kind of toys or just general products do you have that separate you from, you know, the other places like Dr. John's or Blue Boutique?
The biggest difference is most sex shops feel the need to fill their store with all the novelty items that are out there. And there are a lot of novelty items out there. And it can be really intimidating for the average person going into a shop and not having experience to kind of figure out what's good and what's not. Because unfortunately, the sex toy industry is not regulated by the FDA. And so a lot of the things that they put out there all the companies have to do is put a little label and disclaimer. It says this is a novelty item intended for use as a toy. And just by putting that disclaimer out there, you can buy dildos that have plastic that are not really intended to be inserted into your body and aren't great for you. But most consumers aren't going to know that because there isn't any regulation. And so the biggest difference is at the Dolly Room, I really try hard to only carry items that I know are body safe, made from good companies, good motors, good warranties, aren't going to die new after having it for 2 weeks. And if it does, I know it's made by a company that's willing to stand by it and give you a new one. And so that's the biggest difference. I really try not to sell the novelty items because I feel like most people want a quality product these days and are willing to pay for it.
And how does the education and classes help improve people's knowledge? What kind of classes do you hold?
We have all kinds of classes. And so we have a Sex Toys 101 class. And so that's kind of a really great class for people who have not been in sex shops, don't have sex toys, and really want to know what's out there and how to use it and why it's, you know, because you walk in, there's all kinds of things. We'll have classes, intro to BDSM. A lot of people want to learn about the kink community and what's going on out there, and it's a great way to kind of get intro and to say, okay, this is what it means, these are what these people are into, and then we'll go into even more specific topics like sensation play, or we had a spanking class, and there are a lot of people who like impact play. We've done bondage classes where we don't teach actual bondage because we have liability issues, but we do introduce a lot of concepts and toys and products that could help them. The classes are really important because even if you're not looking to enter the entire kink lifestyle, I believe that a lot of people want to learn something more to bring into their current relationships. And it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm 110% into BDSM. It could be, oh, I like this part or this part. And people want to learn how to do it, and I think that's really important. And it helps because if you're educated, you know that when you go in and buy a well-made product, you know how to use it, and you get more enjoyment out of it. So, you know, all goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I just talked to Miss Veronica, and she was telling me about your Mormon, getting over that.
Yeah, we had a great class last week. It was a panel, actually, called Post-Mormon Sexuality.
That's it.
And it was super interesting, and I did not grow up LDS, and not having grown up in this culture, it was really interesting for me to find little things that people who grew up LDS had to deal with. It was a really great panel, and I love having people like Miss Veronica who teach the classes at the Dolly Room.
How has the turnout been for these classes, and just in general in your shop?
The shop has been really great. I'm lucky in that Broadway has really good foot traffic, and so there are always people who are kind of curious. The classes have been great. We have Miss Veronica, Miss Julie, and we're bringing another partner on to teach. These two people who teach classes as well, and so the turnout's been really great. I think that they're definitely are people out there who are looking for the information and really want to learn.
Miss Veronica was telling me how the whole fetish and sex community in Salt Lake has been very, very tight. No pun intended. Very close, and they work together very well. Have you noticed this in Salt Lake?
Yes. I am not directly part of the kink community, but by default, because of the Dolly Room, I've met a lot of the people in the community, and I'm constantly amazed at how tight-knit that community really is. And they know each other and support each other, and you know, have seen each other through all kinds of events in their lives. And, you know, it's really, really refreshing because I think that the general public, you know, their preconceived ideas about the kink community is just what they see from the really extreme views through porn and whatnot. And what you don't see are a lot of the community building efforts that happen that have nothing to do with sex at all. And it's just very much community. It would be just like, you know, a yoga group or a hiking group or whatever. It's just a community.
What are the biggest misconceptions that people come in? Like, what are the strangest questions that kind of provoke the need for these sex education classes?
I feel like when I hear, and I encounter a few, but I hear a lot of stories from other people, grown women who didn't know where their clitoris was. And I'm like, wow, you know, you're an adult and you should know your body parts. If my 10-year-old knows her body parts, you should know your body parts. Those type of things are a little, you know, scary to me that you hear stories like that. And I think, I hear stories and I hear how people are trying to improve their sex lives, but I feel like there isn't a lot of information out there because you either get porn or there's, you know, very little that's out there. What's great is within the last few years, there's been a huge increase in articles and bloggers and sex toy reviewers and amazing progressive sex shops that are putting really great information out there. And that's only been recently. So my job, I kind of feel like, is dispersing the information as best as possible and making sure people have access to it because I want them to learn.
What kind of advice would you give the first timer going into a sex shop?
I would say that a first timer should just take it all in, touch and feel, don't be scared, you know, don't feel the need to have to buy something, you know, look around, see what's there, feel the vibrations, you know, different products feel different. And the hardest thing about buying something online is you can never touch or feel. And, you know, so that's why shops like mine are important. For the first timer, also think about what you are trying to achieve from going to the sex shop. What are you doing? Are you looking for something to satisfy yourself? Are you looking for something to improve your current sex life with a partner? Are you trying to change things drastically? Try something totally different. I would say don't be scared. There's, you know, everybody has a first, and then it's not so scary after that.
What are some of your favorite products that you carry?
My current favorite is the WeVibe Plus, which is an actual couple's vibe. So it's a vibrator that kind of looks like a C, and it clips into the woman in the vagina. And so you have clitoral and G-spot vibrations. And it's designed to be worn during sex. So it's something that's very bonding because you have the male involved as well. And it's great because a lot of times women are used to vibrations, but men aren't. And so during intercourse, this vibrator will vibrate on the man's penis as well. And so that's a new sensation. And it's a great couples toy and it has a remote and it also has a phone app. So you can actually control it from anywhere through Wi-Fi because technology is awesome now.
Oh, that's so, so cool. Technology has just made sex so much better. In some ways better than others. Definitely. Check out the Dahlia Room, everybody, because you'll get some really great information and your online sex store is going to be opening soon.
It's going to be opening soon. We're still developing our website. It's up, but the online store will take a little while. Yeah.
And come touch and feel everything before so you know what you're getting. It sounds like there's some great progress in this community. Are you participating at all in the Pride Parade?
Yes. Well, not so much in the parade, but I will be there during the fest. And yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's so great. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thanks.
Again, no pun intended. I'm sorry, that's terrible. Everyone should definitely explore their sexuality in a safe environment. And trust me, Jen is amazing. So I'm excited to stop in too.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you would like to tell our listeners?
Nope, don't be afraid. Come on in. We're not scary. We don't have offensive things on display, and you'll learn something. It'll be fun.
Well, Well, that's perfect. And check out thedahliaroom.com for upcoming events and just a little more information. And again, don't be scared. There's a great community out here, and we've talked about some wonderful, wonderful things. So thank you so much, Jen.
Welcome. Yeah, and we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all under The Dahlia Room. And Facebook is the best place to get all the information about classes and things like that. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Like them, love them, and learn to love yourself.
Yes, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter at @slugsoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by me, Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, Henry Glasheen, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, Slug's senior staff writer Mariah Mellis will be interviewing the ladies behind Elemente. Thanks for listening.